Good morning. Thank you for listening to KPCRadio.com. This is Michael Iasconi with Common Sense 101, and today our guest is Destiny Lofton. I'm just on point this morning. I met you last year at Disneyland. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and how I ran into you, and I don't know what we can disclose as far as characters and what you do.
Okay. Good morning. I met Michael. I think I met you in front of like the corn dog stand. You love corn dogs, don't you, Michael?
The corn dog castle. Yeah,
yes, the corn dog castle. There we go. Let me clarify. Yes, I am a singing character at Disney's California Adventure. And what else do you want to know about that?
Well, what can you disclose as far as what you do for Disneyland?
Oh, okay. So, well, I can't say exactly what my character is because that's highly classified. And basically, this broadcast will self-destruct if I disclose that information.
We don't need that.
Yes. And but I do sing with a 5-piece band, standard jazz music.
Awesome. And so let's get into you. What led you to Disney? What were you doing prior to that?
I've worked for the Walt Disney Company for about 10 years. Before I was doing that, I was actually in school, high school, and I kind of disclosed my age. Basically before that I was studying how to be an actor, studying singing, studying musical theater technique and also jazz technique.
And along this way, since we're supposed to be discussing common sense and all the areas that we tend to fail as people.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to get into where you find yourself and also the other talent around you making common mistakes that really seem absent-minded or just where the person's not home that day.
Well, I don't know, because actors kind of get a bad rap. I mean, in general, most people think that we're not so bright and maybe we're weighing a little bit, leaning towards our good looks. And that's how we get where we're at in life. So there's all kinds of things that we do. I did mention to you a little bit earlier that that we have resumes that we need to bring with us on auditions, and it's very important to have our contact information on the resumes. Usually you have your agent's logos, but on that rare occasion where you are free agent or sans agent, you need to have your direct email and your direct cell phone number or contact number on there. And I may have fallen victim to this and showed up at an audition without this information. And when I realized it, I was like, oh, well, if they were interested in hiring me, they have no way of contacting me. And I obviously didn't book that job.
And where are you based out of? Where do you do the majority of your auditioning and your work?
Oh, it's either on this side of the hill in the valley. We have lots of audition locations in Burbank and probably the North Hollywood area. Disney's auditions are usually held at Debbie Reynolds. And then there's also some auditions on the other side of the hill in town in Hollywood.
And what is your, I guess, specialty when it comes to being an actress? Is there a certain area that you prefer to work in?
I love theater, and I love being big and ridiculous, and so I would, that was kind of loud. And what else do I like? I also love, you know, any character that's meant for film and television. I love that.
Are you more comfortable with improv, or do you like working with scenarios where you can repeat and not have the live stress?
Well, I feel like that just depends. But scripts are great. It kind of depends on the project, because some projects, they want you to follow the script, like, hardcore. And then some projects, they actually want you to put it in your own words and make it a little bit more real for you. And so everything isn't letter perfect. And so they're sort of expecting a little bit of improv. So it just depends on the project. What I do at Disney is mostly scripted, but there's also an improv aspect to it. And I am expected to go with the flow, because I'm expected to feel the crowd and all that kind of stuff. So that can't be scripted.
And the question that I have right now is what other areas are you doing TV? Are you doing music videos? What other areas are you working in where you find yourself having to adjust or acclimate to that the new circumstances?
Well, that would be every situation. but yeah, I mean, I shot a music video for this up and coming rapper who will remain nameless, and everything was completely, you know, improv, and there were a whole bunch of girls that were half dressed, and on a set like that, there's alcohol involved. There possibly could be illicit substances involved, and so yeah, I have to completely change that. I mean, and abandon the Disney persona.
you had mentioned, and we had talked about working in the industry and dealing with certain women who think that they're more attractive than they really are. They're what did you say, hot for Ohio?
Oh, yes. Okay, so I think like if I was giving tips to actresses or actors, I would say that the rule number one is be yourself. Because that will always work. And there's only one you. And so if you are a hot girl, then be a hot girl. But if you are the girl next door, be the girl next door. Don't try to be the hot girl if you're the girl next door. Or if you're like the nerdy tomboy from, you know what I mean, that lived down the street. And you know, so that's just the big thing. Is so many people think that, oh, they, you know, they come to LA, they're going to be an actress, and they've got to be pretty, and you know, and I've got to take these gorgeous headshots, and I've got to put on all this makeup, and you know, get my hair done, and you know, and get my hair, you know, go to the blow dry bar. But when you get called in for the audition, you know, you get called in for the audition at 10 a.m. and the audition's at 4 p.m. that day, you're not going to make it to the blow-dry bar. And you may or may not have your makeup with you. And you're going to, you know, you're going to show up looking like who you really are. And if the casting director was looking for the hot girl, you're going to be in trouble, because you're not going to be hot enough. So just be you.
And this is something that is pretty common when dealing with the talent in L.A.?
Yes. Yes, this is very common. Everyone has very pretty headshots, and then they show up, and then the casting directors get upset because you're wasting their time.
And another thought I have is current. How current are the headshots? So do people have a tendency to find a pocket of time that they were more comfortable with their appearance and then use those?
Well, what I will say is that if you have an agent, they're going to crack down on the old headshot, and they're going to say, you know, you need new headshots, and they're going to demand that you take new ones if they look dated. And to be honest with you, there's a few headshot techniques. They change like every, I'd say probably like every year or two. So all of a sudden your headshot will be dated in a year or two. Just because the backgrounds change, the angles sort of change, and sort of the look of them change. So, you know, everyone's going to know it's an old headshot. Obviously, if it's in black and white, it's an ancient headshot. I do know some men that can still get away with that, but I will tell you that they have extensive resumes and everyone already knows what they look like, and so they can get away with this. Also, men can get away with a lot more than women can.
And you had mentioned that you worked with someone who decided to not, take a job because they thought it wasn't profitable enough. Can you elaborate or explain the situation?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, yeah, so when you walk into an audition, here's another tip. You always have to say yes. So if they say, can you do a cartwheel? The answer is yes. if they say, we need you to lose 10 pounds, the answer is yes. They'll never ask you that, though. But if they ask you to shave your beard, Michael, the answer is yes. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, you can weigh that. But I mean, my friend who went in for a McDonald's national commercial refused to cut his hair. He's very attached to his hair. I assure you he's not balding. He's got tons of hair. So it's not like if he cuts it, like it's not going to grow back or anything like that. But he decided that he was not going to budge on this. And so he walked in the room. They said, we really like you. We would just like to, we're just wondering if you'll cut your hair for the spot. And he said no. And they did not. He did not get the job. And a McDonald's commercial is a SAG national commercial, so it's a non-buyout. So you get residual payments over anywhere between 6 to 8 months. If you're familiar, McDonald's spots run for a very long time, and they're nationally syndicated. Could be internationally syndicated, depending on where they're at. He probably missed out on anywhere between $30,000 and $60,000
because of his hair.
Yeah, because of his hair.
That's interesting. Some people are just really attached to things.
Right. And the other thing is, if you were looking at the audition breakdown, it's not going to say that he's going to make $30,000 or $60,000. It's just known that that's what you're going to get in the residuals. And so he was probably looking at his breakdown and his appointment, and he saw, oh, it's only going to pay me $1,000 for the actual shoot. And then he was like, no.
So how many times do you find yourself, what's the expression, cutting your nose off spite your face? You walked into something, you thought it wasn't really that valuable, and then by the time you realized what you had walked away from.
I can honestly say that that's never happened to me, because I always do extensive research. Because you know, when you get an audition breakdown, you actually know who all the players are involved. So I know who the director of the project is. You know what I mean? If it's an untitled, that's also a good sign. If it's an untitled project, that means it's probably something big, because it means that they usually can't disclose what it is. But yeah, I mean, it's really important to be a smart actor and to do your research. There's been a couple of times, though, where I've walked in and I didn't think it was a big deal. But I don't treat it like it's not a big deal, or dismiss it or think that it's beneath me or have, you know, because that's having my ego involved, and that's never going to win. And you're probably surely going to cut off your nose despite your face in that instance. There's been a couple of times, though, that I've walked in and I didn't realize it was a big deal, and it was a good thing because there was no pressure, and I went in there and I just did me, and I had successful, auditions because of that. Sometimes when you know, like, there's someone huge and going to be in the room, or this is going to be huge, or this could make my career, you psych yourself out, and then you end up, not going in and choking and not doing your best.
Now, I'm sorry. You coach, correct? You mentor younger.
Yes, yes, yes. I went. The way that I was trained was always to pay it forward. I grew up in Orange County, and I went to the Orange County High School of the Arts, and I would not have pursued my career if it weren't for my mentors. And so now that I'm further along, now I mentor and give back and pay it forward sometimes they're close, sometimes they're just a few years younger than me, but sometimes they're, they're high school kids trying to figure out what their dream is and trying to figure out if their dream is Broadway or try to, find their voice and, all of that. And it's a tough town, so got to stick together.
And what do you find are some of the most common mistakes that the younger actresses and actors are making as far as preparation? Or someone had said whether or not you're smiling or showing teeth in a headshot.
Well, that would definitely be for commercial. Yeah, commercial, you always have to show your teeth. It's very important because they need to know what kind of girl you're working with. And a lot of places, it's particularly agents and stuff, they'd love it if you have a gap. They love it if your teeth aren't perfect. Yes, because it gives you that quirk and certain character types and certain roles that they're looking for. They need that. You know, they need those quirks. We want, you know, they want that. And so if you have that, then that means, oh, you're going to be right for you know, this category and all these projects. So, yeah, don't ever be afraid to show your teeth for a commercial headshot because they want to know what you're working with.
So is it safe to say that for commercials, they're looking for imperfections more or less than perfections? Like, are they looking for the person with the uneven eyebrows, or are they?
It's just that there are certain projects that are looking for that. Yes, absolutely. You know, there are. I mean, there is that whole category that's looking for perfection. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, there's that whole category that's looking for, you know, that they're looking for models. They're looking for, you know, but the category that's looking for real people. I mean, if you look at a Dove commercial. You know, those are real women in the Dove commercials, you know, and so they don't want you to be perfect. So many, like the Cheerios commercial and everything, they're looking for diversity. So it's like they prefer to have real families for those commercials. But when they can't get those, then they create, you know, interracial families. And so, you know what I mean? So being ethnically ambiguous or anything, anything goes with commercial, you know, it just depends, you know, on the project, but there's definitely a place for everyone. You know, don't think that, you have to have perfect teeth. Don't think that you have to have perfect teeth.
So this kind of falls back to you saying, be yourself with your headshot. Don't paint your face and then not be that face, because there's a good chance that they need your actual face.
Yes. Your actual face might be exactly what they're looking for. It probably is. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the most important thing. The most important thing is that you should be constantly working to perfect and be the best you. Not anyone else or not anything else, you know. Yeah.
And how hard do you personally think that is with all the media influence and all of the peer pressure?
Oh, my gosh.
Social
I don't know how these kids are doing it with Instagram and, you know, I'm sure I would have imploded if I was, you know, an adolescent and having to deal with all the pressure of social media plus, you know, the regular media that's always, you know, been vicious. I mean, so many people on Instagram are super focused on their makeup application techniques and their eyebrows and just yeah, just be you.
Yeah, and now there's apps that make your eyes bigger. They change the contours of your face and.
Right.
Yeah. I don't really understand a lot of this, but it's being driven by.
Well, yeah, and I'm like, we don't all want carbon copies of Kim Kardashian. Like, that's not the goal. We already have Kim Kardashian, and that's fabulous, and she's doing very well for herself and has made a career for herself. And so now it's time for you to be you. You know, you don't need fake lips. You don't need all that.
And you had mentioned earlier about preparation for an audition as far as your resume, the agent's logo, and you might have not put your personal information after that. But also, you had mentioned that there was scenarios where you may not be asked to provide the resume and the portfolio or the picture. And so some people show up not prepared or...
Right. Right. No, it's really interesting. I forget. It's very famous, but the saying is an actor prepares. I'm not sure who said that. So, but yeah, you always have to be prepared for anything. Hence why I said you had to say yes to anything. If they say, do you roller skate or do you skateboard? You know, the answer is yes, you know, and then I'm calling you to say, you're going to have to teach me how to skateboard because I just booked this job. But the other thing is, yeah, you have to come in knowing the material, if there is material. You have to, you know, because a lot of commercials are improv. And so they just ask you a few questions. And so you just answer off the cuff. And, you know, some, and sometimes, too, they just want to see you do something. They're like, hey, can you drink this bottle of water? You know, just take a drink of this. Just take a sip of this. We're going to shoot you. And that's it. So in that case, you know, there's no rehearsal ready or, you know, there's no practicing involved. But then, you know, but then if you've got, you know, if you've got this amazing, you know, pilot audition, that's probably going to be several, you know, it's going to be at least two scenes. You know, then you have to break down the material. You have to, you know, call a coach if you have a coach. I think coaching is so important because it's a different set of eyes and ears looking at you and listening to you. And so they're gonna be able to have a better perspective than you because you could be thinking, oh, I'm doing this so well, and you're really and like. You know, you're delivering it with energy and this is, you know, or you're bringing the drama, you know, and maybe you look a little ridiculous. And so your coach is going to say, no, bring it down a little bit or, you know, or no, that's not funny or no, that, you know, how about this? And sometimes it's those minor adjustments is what's going to get you the part.
And From being coached to coaching, I'm trying to phrase this correctly. When you were being coached,
mm-hmm.
what were some of the most difficult things for you to change with your approach, so to speak?
Probably, I'm a perfectionist. And so I put a lot of pressure on myself to deliver something, you know, right every single time. So I would say if I had made up my mind how I want to deliver something and my coach keeps, you know, and my coach has thought otherwise, or my teacher has thought otherwise, it can be difficult for me to untrain or unlearn a decision that I made because I drill things extensively. I think that just comes from my theater background. My theater background and also my singing background is practice makes perfect. And so I drill things until I don't have to think about them anymore. And so then it becomes part of, you know, my muscle memory. And so untraining muscle memory is tricky.
Now, the second part of that question would be with your students, with the people you're coaching, what are some of the common struggles you see?
Yeah, well, they're just in their way. They just get in their way. You know, I mean, that's always what it is. They're always just getting in their own way and they're overthinking it. They're over, you know what I mean? And, you know, the other thing I'm going to say, and it's going to be a little harsh, is that the younger generation doesn't read as much as, I'm not saying my generation, I'm just saying older generations. I mean, definitely my mother and my grandparents, like they were readers. And so that actually comes in, you know, that actually stands in their way a lot is I see, you know, if I'm coaching a side or something like that, that's for, like a crime show. And they're reading the medical examiner report, you know, they can't pronounce half the words. There's, you know, they have no idea what they mean. So, yes, that. I think it's important for actors to read out loud, too, because you can hear how things sound and how, you know, and how people talk. And don't read like a robot who, you know what I mean, like, you know, that because that's not going to get you anywhere. But yes, you understanding. I think that that why they come to me is because they need to understand the text that they've been given for their audition. Same thing for the for music as well. When I coach singing, it's the same. They come to me because they need help understanding what this song means. And when you understand what the song means. You don't look like a robot when you're performing it.
So a lot of this just comes down to preparation.
Yeah.
And literary competence.
Yes. 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 I mean, and that's, and that's the other reason why I feel like, you know, actors do have a bad rap, though, is because when you come in and you're reading it like a robot, they think that you don't understand what you're reading. They think that you, they think that you have a low IQ. but really, most of the time you're just nervous. Most of the time you're just nervous. And so, you know.
Yeah. You just need to get out of your own way.
Yes. You got to get out of your own way.
Well, on that note, I think that's our 25 minutes. And I want to say thank you to Destiny for sharing your life with us. And this has been Common Sense 101 with Michael Iosconi on KPC Radio. And we're signing off.